special forces were special type of people. They had methods to deal with things that I wouldn't recommend to just anybody. Isn't it true? Last week was such a powerful week in my life. That preacher had his finger in my face all those nights, and that morning, Sunday morning, was, I missed that one because of going over yonder. But if he'd have been here Sunday morning, I'd have been here Sunday morning, and he'd have stuck his finger in my face again. And my toes are all blue. I've determined if he comes again next year, I'm wearing steel-toed shoes. I'm not letting him do to him what he did. Don't you wish you run into people like that all the time? There's so many others that come into our lives. One way or another, they seem to work their way in. If you try to live without the others in your life, you seem to miss things, or you seem to not get everything complete. We actually need those others in our lives to help us to get along. That's the reason we're here and not there. Amen? They need us. We need them. But God created the church because of them, so that the church could witness to them. The church could tell them about Jesus. The church could invite them to church. The church put us here, or left us here, the Lord did, for them. That's the only reason I believe that we're here. in this day and age, that's the only thing. They asked Peter, "Where is this Lord? Where is this Lord?" He's sort of slack concerning his promise. But Peter answered, he's not slack concerning his promise. He's not slack, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I think every week, every time I get out in the world a little bit, must be time for the Lord now. I have a habit of watching news 2 or 3 times a day for 8 or 9 hours at a time. Not really, but I try. But it aggravates me, the ignorance of mankind, the ignorance of denying God the way they do when there's so many evidences. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, actually chapter 3. Y'all make me nervous. That's a good nervous, I guess. Say that again. That probably worked just like that. I want to preach out of verse number 14. Actually, I want the whole chapter. But verse number 14 of chapter 3 says, "But continue thou, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." This week we've learned about our job's not finished this last week. Our job's not finished. It's not finished. When God's finished with me, he'll take me home. Lord, have mercy. I think Lord has mercy and won't leave me here beyond my use. That would be a terrible punishment, it seems to me, to leave me here with nothing to do. So I believe that he's still got stuff for me to do. This past week confirmed that in my heart. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I am a little bit nervous I pray, Lord, that you'll settle me down. Help me to say plainly what you put on my heart. And help me, Lord, I pray, through all of this to help us to understand that we have work to do. We have a mission to complete in our lifetime, Lord, that you've given to each one of us. Help us, Lord, to see that mission clearly and, Lord, tackle it with all of our heart. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. And what we just read represents the unsaved portions of our populations of the world. But I believe that also it represents those that are church folks. Those that are church folks. That verse number four, let me see, verse number five, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's false witnesses. That's false believers. That's people that go to church. They learn the language. They learn the conduct. They represent something they don't know anything about, and they'll lead people astray. That's where cults originated. People that didn't understand the power of God, didn't understand what they had in their hand when they had the Bible, and didn't receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And they have misled millions and millions of people away from Jesus instead of to Jesus. My sister-in-law, she's still my sister-in-law as far as I'm concerned. My brother's gone. He's gone on to his reward, whatever that might be. She's Jehovah's Witness. And I can't tell you, I think about four times we went scripture by scripture through the Bible trying to show her. I didn't tell her she had to do anything, but she asked me a couple of times to come and show her why I believe what I do. What an opportunity, amen? And so very carefully and very slowly, with as much love as I could muster up for her. I do love her. I pray that she'll get saved yet, amen? But she's turned her back away from the scripture, from the things that are taught, and turned towards the devil and towards that way of life that she's being taught in that congregation. But the world's full of these people. They're everywhere. Romans chapter 1 gives us a more detailed description of them and how they turn their back on God. What's that last verse? Knowing that those that commit such sins are worthy of death. But they, instead of worrying about that, they take pleasure in those that do them. They take pleasure denying God. They take pleasure of turning away from righteousness. They take pleasure in turning away from holiness, from Jesus Christ, from the love of God, from salvation and the cleansing away of all sins. They take pleasure in that. We're in that kind of world. In verse 6, Paul gives us gives us the best description of who these people are in verse number 5. They're creeps. They're creeps. Anybody here ever known a creep? I've known several creeps in my lifetime. And they're everywhere. They get into your business. Amen. They get into your life. They get into your household. They'll come in and ruin your day, fill you with false hopes and fill you with false direction, make you think something they're not, and sort of rob you of any joy and peace that you have in your heart. They're creeps. That's the reason he finishes the verses. They come into a house and they lead captive silly women laden with sins. Now, I want to back up. I know that there's a lot of creepy women, too. Amen? So they're looking for silly men to lead captive, lead them away. Amen? Listen, creeps aren't labeled just for men, just as men. Everybody here can be a creep if you try hard enough. The people in Paul's age, they were there and very visible, and he understood who they were, and he knew what they needed. You know what Paul would have given them if he could have given it to them? He'd have given Jesus. He'd have given Jesus. I think the biggest issue in the whole world right now is it needs Jesus. Right now, I think, is just the finest time to have a missions conference. In this time, at this time of our lives, of your lives and my life, right now is the best time to have a missions conference. While we're here in this church, in this place where the gospel is preached, where God's word is preached and taught, here in this place where we sing the songs with power, and I'm waiting for y'all to sing Power in the Blood. That's a request. because that's a powerful song. And when you sing it, you can't go, power in the blood, power in the blood. Listen, I have pastored a church that don't have any power. There's no power. There's no volume. And if you go sit beside them, you'll find out most of them all don't sing. And if they sing, it's not a joyful noise. It's just because you're sitting next to them and they don't want to be caught without. Most of them don't pick up their hymn book. A good number of them don't bring a Bible to church. What kind of church is that? What kind of church? I scold them. I get on to them. I try my best to embarrass them. Everybody hold your Bible up. It may be, well, I was demonstrating what that. There's more Bibles on this side than there is in that whole congregation. Late's better not. Amen. But the world's full of that. And the world's full of weak-kneed Christians. We don't need to be weak. You know something? The world is dying and going to hell because Christians are weak. Christians can be strong and powerful, but oftentimes we choose rather to be weak and have a weak testimony and have a weak witness. How many remember the day you were saved, the night, the morning? Amen. That's the greatest moment of my life. I talk about that everywhere I go. The night I was saved, I can't remember the preacher's name. He wasn't our normal preacher. But I was about four rows back and all night long. And he preached all night long. And I knew I needed to get saved. And I thought I had to come here to get saved. And when he said, let's all stand and bow our heads, I just stepped out, came forward, and met a guy. He said, you need any help? And I said, no, I know exactly what I need. And he listened to me pray and asked God to forgive me and save me. He says, what do you need to do now? I said, I need to be baptized. And they took me back and deep dipped me. And my pastor there was a deep water Baptist. And he held you under until you were saturated and soaked wet. Amen. I enjoyed that. Why do you mean enjoyed, preacher? I can't tell you what I meant by that. But I enjoyed that. I enjoyed being responsive to God. I did what God wanted me to do. It's caused a problem in my life because I did what God wanted me to do. I left the military. Because I did what God wanted me to do, I went to college. I didn't take college. College took me for everything I was worth. I crammed a four-year degree into six. I had teenage kids. I had a full-time job, and I pastored a little chapel on the side of a mountain. College time was just that small compared to all the rest of it. So I didn't try to hurry. I really wanted to learn something while I was there. And I guess the best thing I learned was how to study my Bible a little better and everything. The Army taught me how to teach. They sent me to school for that twice. How to teach, how to be a good teacher and instructor. It says there, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We need that form of godliness, but we don't need to. We need to develop who we are. Who are you? Who are you in God? Who are you in Christ? You need to learn who you are in Christ. You need to learn your space. You need to learn your place and what you're capable of doing. God's given every one of us a talent. He's given every one of us a skill. We need to find out what that skill is and then sharpen our tool. Amen? And use that tool then to the glory of God to bring people into the church or tell people on the street or at your work or wherever you might find them that'll wait a minute and listen to you. You need to be able to tell them about Jesus. So I use my testimony, and I use green cards all the time. These green cards, that's my tool to share Jesus with people whenever I get a chance. And you know something? I learned at the Hayden days that some of these people will stop and listen to you. Some of that's sort of surprising. We sort of have a bubble in the world around about us there in Hayden, where this wickedness and this horribleness that's spoken of in these verses hadn't really creeped in yet, and they're friendly enough and receptive enough to receive a track and say thank you for it and everything, and listen to you, invite them to church without spitting at you or telling you to go away. You know, it might be different when you come to their door and knock on the door, but if you do that right, I think people will at least be kind enough when they run you off. Up in Trenton, Georgia, there's a family that'll run you off with a shotgun. I know this. Ever learning, they are their church folks. They are resisting the truth and have developed a corrupt feeling towards people of truth and everything. Paul says, remember your training. Remember your training. There in verse number 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue your training. Continue in your training. Remember what you've learned. You've studied me. He traveled with Paul. Paul taught him to teach. Paul taught him to preach. Paul taught him to be a pastor. Paul taught him how to be an evangelist. Paul taught him the sharper points of the Word of God. He'd been taught since he was a kid about the Word of God. He'd been trained up at home before Paul met Paul about the things of God, about the Word of God and everything. Paul helped him develop his tools and everything. He told him to continue on. You know what's in the Bible. You know what the Bible says. You know about Jesus. You know what Bible they had? It's that old thing. It's in the back here. They didn't have the new thing yet. Paul was writing it. The others were writing it. He didn't have all those letters yet put together. And Paul says, continue on. Can you imagine a man more prepared to preach the gospel than Paul when he got saved? He's very much a scholar of the Old Testament. He knew the Old Testament inside out. But he didn't find Jesus in there until he met Jesus on the way to Damascus. And he was blinded on the way to Damascus. And they took him into Damascus. And he met them. I can't remember the witness's name. He went to Paul to baptize him. And when he baptized him, he realized what was going on. He came up preaching. You know, almost pretty much he came up preaching. And just a day or two later on, he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching about Jesus. Can you imagine all the Bible that opened up to his mind? All the verses about the Savior that came up in his mind, that opened up in his mind. Everything that he had read and studied before, it all began to make sense towards Jesus. It all came there. And he was preaching just then shortly after his baptism, all about Jesus. You know something? We should all be just like Paul and teaching like that and preaching like that every chance we get. You ever give a tract to a Walmart checkout person? I got so many of these self things anymore. You leave a tract on that thing and it doesn't do any good at all. But the Walmart person normally doing checkout don't really have time to get your tract. Something you can do is give them one if you got a moment there. And ask them to read it later when they get a break or when they go home. But I try to give tracts to everybody and wherever I go. If I get a minute, let me tell you about the tract. Let me tell you that inside there's something I've written just for you to read when you get a chance. And sometimes I get to read the tract to them and sometimes I don't. He says there, let me read on down. Let me read some more. Ever learning. Thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, of Jesus. You've learned from Jesus. Listen, thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. He's watched Paul grow up How many of you remember the pastor of the church where you got saved? How do you remember? Do you remember the person that led you to the Lord? Was it a family member? Was it like that? I don't remember the guy that I knelt with. The guy that was preaching that night was a professor from Bible Baptist College over in Springfield, Missouri. Art Wilson, that's right. He's gone on to be with the Lord a long time ago. And I don't know that other than those two times that I heard him, or three, that I ever heard him before or since. But you know, so he made a big difference in my life. He helped me find Jesus and made a difference. You should remember those people that are in your past that had something to do with your salvation, had something to do with your upbringing in the Bible. Some of them left testimonies for you to identify with. Some of them left you special lessons that you can say, you know something, I learned this in my first church, and they made a difference in my life. I remember learning about tithing, and you know something? I thought that's the craziest idea I ever heard of. I was a sergeant in the Army, and I didn't have a nickel. In fact, I didn't even sign my own checks. My wife signed them. I hardly ever saw them and put them in the bank and everything. I guess she put them in the bank. You remember the persecutions and the afflictions that the church goes through? In Alaska, the gay crowd, I got to be careful how I say this. The sodomite, that's a good word. Thank you. They painted our church. They blew up our church sign. They took dynamite and blew that thing all over the street and everything like that. You know, we thanked them for that. We'd been trying to get a new sign for years. The city wouldn't let us. They painted the bad words on the church and everything, but it was cold enough. The paint just froze. It didn't stick. And we just wiped it off. Yeah, wiped it off. We've been called names, people haters. You know, we hate, actually, you know, something, we're supposed to love them and ask to God to save them. Ask God to give us an opportunity to tell them about Jesus and tell them that, you know, something, as bad as you have become, if you'll turn to Jesus and ask him to forgive you, he'll save you. I do believe, I said personally, this is Bond's ology. I do believe they can come to a place in life, spitting in the face of God, spitting in the face of the Savior, that he will give them up to a reprobate mind. What does that mean? Kill them on the spot? No, that he'll just quit touching their life, quit drawing them to him. I think that's true. And I don't know when that is. Do you? So I can't use that as an excuse to not care enough to share with them the gospel. And we need to be doing about that. Remember your training. Remember what's going on. It's not always going to be easy, is it, to be a Christian? Sometimes knock on the door and somebody's not going to be happy with you. You speak to your boss about going to church. I had the sorriest, no good, rotten, evil, ill-spoken person as a first sergeant in Alaska. He had nothing good to say. If you're walking up the hallway and he's going to pass you, he'll cuss you. That's just the way he was. He'll call you name. He'll call you mama names. He'll call you children names. He just didn't like you. He didn't like people. He didn't like the soldiers. He didn't like being on top of that mountain in Alaska, and everything. And he was just that way. And I got trapped by him. I was sitting at a breakfast table fixing to go down to work on the missile site, and the first sergeant sat down at the table across from me, and I thought, Lord help me, and he said, what's wrong with you, Bonds? You going to sit there and cry? Have I caused you that much problem? Then he used some other language. And I said, no, I'm sitting here trying to figure out how to invite you to come to church with me tonight. And you know, he just stopped. He didn't know what to do with that. He said, you'd invite me to church? I said, yes, church is for you, and it's for me, it's for all of us. I'd like for you to go to church with me tonight. He says, I'd like to go to church with you. I'd like to go to church. He says, where is it? I said, it's downtown. I said, tell you what, if you want to go to church with me, I'll come by and get you. And I told him what time, and I really pulled in front of his door thinking he wasn't coming out. But he, as soon as I stopped in front of the door, he come running out the door, got in the car, and went with me to church. Carl Hatch was preaching that night. Now, he's a finger pointer too, and he doesn't mince words. He does now. He's in heaven. But he preached all over that first sergeant. He called him everything but a spot on the ground. And everything, and the first sergeant sat there pretty much like that the whole time. And when Carl said, you know what? God loves you in spite of what you are, in spite of who you are and how you are. God loves you. And he wants to save your soul and cleanse you from all your sins. He said, let's all stand up. And he said, now, if you're here tonight and you heard this and you want to get saved, you'd like for God to wipe away your sins, and you step out. I leaned over and I said, do you want to go up there? He said, yes, I do. Would you go with me? And I went, and he knelt there. And that old ugly, blaspheming, foul language first sergeant trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. They took him up and they baptized him. He said, I've never in my life been more afraid of these things going on to me than this. He said, but I think I wouldn't change it for anything. You know, that old first sergeant's still there, but he fought it. He fought it. He'd say a bad word and he'd say, I'm sorry. Just, what? He got saved. What we do, we take advantage of the opportunities. We love the unlovable, and we keep preaching Jesus and keep sharing our faith. How many of you got a relative that they really, really, really need to get saved? You keep praying for them. You keep praying and asking God to save them. Send the preacher by their door. And if the preacher don't go, you go by their door and say, you know, I've been thinking about you, and I think we need to bring you to church, and you need to get saved. I've been praying for you to get saved. Would you come to church with me on Sunday? We're going to have a special meeting, and you'll be my guest of honor there. I'll buy you a chicken meal after it's over. Used to bring people to church in Germany. Used to tell them, you come to church with me Sunday, I'll buy you a chicken meal. We'll go to chicken dinner. I'll take them to KFC. And a lot of people came to KFC with me after church. We fed a lot of families, didn't we? Taught myself into feeding one man, and he had seven people in his family. Oh, my soul. But you know what? It's all right. It's all right. We took him to church, and then he had brought his family with him, and they all followed. Praise the Lord, he volunteered to follow me and get to KFC, and we had a good meal. Got to the point where half the congregation was going to KFC after church to visit with the visitors and everything. And we had a lot of people get saved out there, inviting them to church. People that were hard, crusty army and Marines and Air Force and some real wet Navy people who get saved and then get them baptized. I had five families in our church surrender to be ministers of the gospel. Left the military and go to school for that. What kept us doing that? What keeps us going when people like this are taking over our world? What keeps us preaching the gospel? It's the love of God. It's the love of God. He loves me. He loves me. He cares for me. Yeah, I'm in His hand. I'm in His hand. He's not mine. He's not in my pocket. I don't carry Him around like a card and shake Him on situations like a lot of people seem to, you know, turn to Jesus when you can't think of anything else to do. I'm in His hand. He leads me. He directs me. He helps me. He gives me the determination to say what's on my mind at times when I don't want to say what's on my mind. You need Jesus. You know, something that will help you and help your family is you need Jesus. A man told me at church a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, he says, we're having issues with our family, within our family. He says, and what would you suggest we do? I said, you need to go to church and you need to find out about Jesus. You need Jesus in your life. Your family needs Jesus in your church. And y'all need to get right with God, and then you'll get right with one another, and you'll put love back in your house. Now, you know, I don't know if he'll ever do that, but it got the opportunity to say that. And that wasn't Rick Bond saying that. Rick Bond would just say, shut up. I can't help you. He wants us to tell people to come to church. We did something in a church up in Trenton, Georgia. That's up the road yonder. I think it's that way. You go to Trenton, Georgia. I'll tell you a story about that someday. He drew a picture of a fish hook and hooked like you get on the lapel sometimes that some churches give if you're a soul winner. Well, he took that soul winning pin and he put it up. He said, when you go fishing, your point of going fishing is catch a fish. Most people that I fish with only put one hook on at a time, and they catch a fish. If these people are catching four or five at a time, they're probably illegal and need to go to jail. He said, try to catch one. Try to catch one. Ask God to give you one. Give me one person this week, Lord. Go to church with me. Give me one person this week, Lord. Just one that I can talk to about Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And he said, let's do that. Let's everybody try this week for just one. Just one come church with you. Got somebody that says, I'll go to church with you sometime. Tell him sometime's arrived. Come to church with me this week. I'm a chicken dinner. I'm chicken dinner. Pick him up early and take him, get him a biscuit. But use the drive-through. Don't let them have a chance to get out. But you invite them to church. You invite them to come. You know what they're going to hear when they get here? They're going to hear all of you singing, praising the Lord. They're going to hear all those amens that this church gives. Praise the Lord. They don't even laugh over yonder. One Lord. Just give me one. What happens if you get one? Are you off the hook? No. Ask for another. Thank you, Lord. You tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the one that came. What if they don't get saved? What if they don't? That means you're going to just internally combust and blow all to pieces? No. You ask God for another. And when you see the other one that did come next week, you say, what do you think of church? When are you going to come back? You invite them back, but you ask God for another. Give me, Lord, just one. Is God going to give you one every week? Maybe. Maybe. What? Give Him a shot. Give God a shot. Try Him out. Lord, give me one. Or just one. And with the one, Lord, help me get them to the altar. Help me get them. Help me, Lord, get them to the baptistry. Help me, Lord, to help them learn about Jesus and help me to disciple them. Help me to be part of their life their Christian life and their saved life. Help me, Lord. Help them find their way to heaven, Lord. Help me, Lord, to do these things. Do you know something? I think the most important mission in the whole wide world is telling people about Jesus. That's the only reason we're left here, is because of these people. To tell them about Jesus, to invite them to church, to help them find eternal life. It comes through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. My 4-year-old son taught me that verse on my living room floor when we first started going to church. I wasn't saved. And he sat down on the church. He taught his mama that first. And she got him to show me this verse. And he said, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, the life. And he repeated it. Yeah. If our children can do it, we can do it. Like learning Spanish. Anybody can learn Spanish. All the children down there learn it. Mexico. And we can learn the different languages and we can go to different places. We can go on missions trips. I'm going to close with this. You probably want to get home and get on the phone with the ticket agency. You can go to a mission field. You can go. You can go and enjoy yourself. You can go and help a missionary hand out tracts. I don't speak the language. You don't have to. Just hand a track out. You can go with him. He goes canvassing. Goes to go to a town center where all the groceries, little things are spread out. They have farmers markets every week in these little places and markets and hand out tracts and everything. They'll all take the tract, every one of them, whether it's in English or in Spanish or whatever. They'll take the track, and then they'll walk along and everything. What are you doing? What are you doing when you do that? You're helping people. That some will throw it away. That's true. But some won't. Some will read it. Some will read it. What do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? I painted porch this week. My friend Nathaniel come over and he painted my back porch. I got paint all over me. He didn't. So I didn't help much. But that's what he does. He paints porch. He paints houses, paints stuff, not cars. What do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? We tell people about Jesus. That's what we do. That's what we do. If we're involved so much in things that we can't tell people about Jesus, then we're wrong. Our priority in life should be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are dying. I can't remember. I used to keep a sort of a count of how many people died in Birmingham in the last week, and I've lost track of that. But there will be thousands of people in the greater Birmingham area die in a weekend. Thousands of people. Not just shootings and stuff, but actual heart attacks and just getting old and such as that. Like me. They'll be dying. There's not a day too late to tell somebody about Jesus unless they're dead. So let's do what God's called us to do. Father in heaven, that's not what I had on the paper, Lord. That's what you had in my heart. And Lord, we have a strange opportunity here, sort of scary here in this part of the world, that we can share a tract with people and they readily accept it, put it in their pocket. Lord, I thank you for that. Help us to take advantage of our opportunity. Help us to be willing to tell other people about Christ every chance we get. And not just share with them our experience, but invite them to share in the experience. And Lord, if it's all possible, help us to invite folks to church. Lord, I know everyone here has somebody they've invited before that hasn't come. Help them, I pray. Help them, I pray, to invite them to come to church with them Sunday. And Lord, help us to praise your name when they come in the door. Help us to thank you that that he has stirred their heart and caused them to come to church. And Lord, I pray that you'll have your way. Lord, souls to be saved. People need to know about Jesus. Help us to bring them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.